Most of the ambiguities surrounding this contested election are a result of the punch ballot system used in Florida. This technology dates back to the 60s, but we're living in the internet era. Why aren't we using the internet to vote? My guest, Kim Alexander, was a member of the California Internet Voting Task Force, which was convened by California's Secretary of State to study the feasibility of voting through the internet. The task force issued its report early this year. Alexander is also the president of the California Voter Foundation. In Philadelphia, where I live, we use the old lever voting machines, a system that's much older than punch cards. I asked Alexander about the obstacles to updating old voting systems.
One obstacle is that sometimes it takes a crisis to make change happen in government. And I think that's what we're seeing right now. It's not any news to our county election officials all over the country that there's a need for an updated voting technology. A lot of them have been asking for it repeatedly for years, and it's up to the county governments to provide the resources, or historically it's been up to the county governments to provide those resources to update voting technology machines. Now, this is just like any other government procurement project where you have to go out, find a vendor, make an investment, and that investment you need to be able to reap the benefits of for at least, 15, 20 years in order to get your money's worth for that investment. These are not cheap machines. Already we've seen in California our Speaker and our Secretary of State are calling for state matching funds for local governments to be able to update their voting technologies, and it's going to take resources to get there. It's also going to take money to spend on poll workers, because this isn't just about the technology. It's also about the instructions that voters are given when they show up at polling places, and whether the people giving those instructions themselves are being adequately trained, paid for their time, honored for their work. So that's part of the problem, too, that we need to look at and that we need to focus on.
One of the questions a lot of people are asking in the light of the problems that Florida had with its punch ballots is, well, why can't we just vote on the internet? We're using the internet for so much, including shopping. Why can't we vote that way, too? And that's something that, you studied as a member of the California Internet Voting Task Force. First of all, explain to us, what would it mean to vote on the internet? How would that work? What system did you try in California?
There's two kinds of internet voting. There's internet voting at the polling place, where you go into a machine and it's staffed by an election officer and you still need to sign in and be verified in the way that you are now to be a voter that's eligible to vote and registered. And then there's remote internet voting, which is voting over the internet from home or from work. And the polling place internet voting approach was tried out in four counties in California, including the county where I vote. Remote internet voting has been tried out in Arizona, but the California Internet Voting Task Force felt that that method has a lot of problems and potential for fraud.
What are some of the problems that made your group decide not even to try it?
Well, let me give you an example. I mean, I hear a lot of people say to me, hey, I can bank online and I can shop online. Why can't I vote online? I'm conducting all these other sensitive transactions on the internet. Why shouldn't voting be among them? And the answer to that question is that voting is not like those other transactions. When you make a deposit in your checking account and you put $100, transfer $100 from your checking account to your savings account or whatever your transaction is, your bank is going to send you back a message saying, hi, Terry, we got your deposit and we deposited in this account and you deposited $100. It will confirm what your transaction was. But with voting, we would not want our county elections office to send back an email message saying, hi, Terry, we got your ballot and we know how you voted. You voted for this person and that person. It's not like any other transaction that takes place on the internet. Some people think that we could use PIN numbers to give people access to vote over the internet, and that's what they tried out in Arizona. The downside of PIN numbers is that I think if we have PIN numbers as the authentication technique for people voting remotely over the internet, we'd have a situation where you could very easily swap or sell your votes. And we saw that happening already in the last election. I think that if we were to introduce remote internet voting using PINs, it would really exacerbate the problems of vote swapping and vote selling. So one of the really challenging things about remote internet voting is trying to authenticate the voter and make sure that people actually vote for themselves and only vote once, while at the same time protect the right to cast a secret ballot. And in the workplace, where a lot of people can be expected to be casting their ballots if we allow for remote internet voting, you may have a situation where your employer or your coworker or your supervisor is physically standing over your shoulder watching you while you cast your ballots and vote over the internet. That's a really chilling situation and something that I think we need to be very careful that we don't create for people who already work in politically coercive environments.
Okay, so you made a pretty strong argument against remote internet voting. What's right. internet voting like in the polling place? Why would you need the internet if you have to show up at the polling place anyways?
One advantage of polling place internet voting is that it could allow the county elections office to set up polling places in more locations other than just county election precincts. So, for example, you could vote at the bank or you could vote at the supermarket or the shopping mall, places where people might be anyway, and in that way make voting more convenient for people. And the same is true for computerized voting or any voting mechanism. It's really just a question of how you transfer the ballots. And some people like the idea of transferring ballots over the internet because you can do it immediately from the precinct itself. Other people think you should just transfer the ballots by putting them onto this memory module is used in the touchscreen systems and bring them physically back to the elections office that way. So, you know, there's a lot of downsides for any technology that you use. And if you use paper ballots, well, we've heard stories about people who leave a box of paper ballots on the top of their cars and drive off from the polling place and they fall into a ditch or something like that. And so, you know, if you have people who are physically handling the ballots, whether it's in a box or it's in a memory module, you do run the risk of human error. So that's one argument for using the internet to transmit those ballots to the central counting office.
My guest is Kim Alexander, president of the California Voter Foundation. She was a member of the California Internet Voting Task Force. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Kim Alexander, president of the California Voter Foundation. She was a member of the California Task Force, which studied the feasibility of voting on the internet. Now, in the California Internet Voting Task Force that you were part of, you participated in internet voting in a polling place. This wasn't a real vote. I mean, this was just a kind of experimental vote.
Right.
So when you voted, what did you use? You had a computer screen?
I had a screen. I had a mouse, and I could go through my ballot. It would only let me choose one candidate per race. I couldn't overvote, which is a real advantage of the touchscreen or keyboard voting technology. And at the end of the process, I could go back and see what my votes were. I could start over if I wanted to start over. As long as I was in that booth and making those decisions, I had as much flexibility as I wanted to move back and forth among my ballot choices. And I had 20 decisions that I had to make on my ballot. Here in California, we have a lot of initiatives all the time on our ballots. And so it can be a long process for people to go through all those choices. And I liked the flexibility of being able to go back and forth and see how I had voted in the previous race or change my vote if I wanted to change it as I went.
What were the conclusions of the California Internet Voting Task Force?
Well, our overall message was really to be cautious. I mean, it's funny because when I came onto the task force, the very first meeting, I was the person who was the one person in the room who said, can we all just agree that we should vote on the internet? And I was really grateful that my colleagues who were older and wiser and more patient than me rejected my suggestion and said, no, we need to study this. We can't just jump to that conclusion. And after studying it myself, I have developed a lot of reservations. I mean, our main message was to be cautious.
So will California continue to experiment with and pursue the possibility of internet voting?
I think so, although I think that the benefits of touchscreen or, you know, any kind of computerized voting are pretty much the same as internet voting at a polling place. I mean, it's really just a matter of how you transfer the ballots. I do think that we will continue to see an increase in the use of computers in precincts and in early voting tests in particular. I mean, one of the hard things to deal with any voting technology is that it is expensive to implement this kind of change, and it needs to be able to last for a long time. And technology, you know, new technology changes very quickly, and it's hard to keep pace, as we all know, with those changes. So it's a big investment for the county election offices to make, and that's why I just keep saying that I hope that, you know, we won't rush to make some unwise investments, and instead we'll take the time that we need to take to survey voters, listen to voters, find out what people want, and try to come up with a system that will be both feasible and will work for a long time and will meet everybody's needs. I mean, that's a really tall order.
If you're doing internet or computerized voting, is there any way of doing a recount? Is there a way of having a paper trail so that you have a way of doing a recount? Say there's a virus or a hacker interfering with the
mm-hmm,
system.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting. You mentioned hackers, and I'll tell you, one of the experiences that I had that really turned my attitude around about internet voting was I was at a Computers Freedom and Privacy conference a couple years ago in Washington and had just been appointed to the task force and had spent the conference going around asking people at the conference, you know, what do you think about internet voting, just to try to get, you know, general opinions. And at lunch one day, I put the question out to my table, and the guy sitting next to me, who turned out to be a rather infamous hacker, I didn't know at the time, but he started rubbing his hands together and said, "Cool, I can't wait to see who the hackers want to have for president." And that just really caused me to sit up and turn around and say, wait a minute, this may not be the way that we want to go. And I think it's really interesting that, you know, people who are very technologically savvy, if you talk to people who really understand technology, they are the biggest opponents to internet voting. The people who actually do the programming and work in the hardware of the internet, they are the ones who more than anyone else will say this would be a really bad idea. So I think we need to listen to those people. And, you know, I'm keeping an open mind. I'm not writing it off. I mean, I'm not opposed to internet voting. I wouldn't predict that we'll never be voting from home. You know, there may be a way to vote over the internet using a, you know, different kind of device other than a computer, like a Palm Pilot. You know, that's a whole new area that needs to be studied.
Kim Alexander, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you for having me.
Kim Alexander is the president of the California Voter Foundation and was a member of the California Internet Voting Task Force, which issued its report in January.